only thing in this world that does not change is the Word of God. You change, I change. God help it, the world changes. Sometimes church changes. But the Word of God standeth sure. Hallelujah. So I'm going to read from the only thing that has never changed in your life. The only thing that's never changed since the day God created this earth. And the only thing that will never change in our whole eternity. I'm going to read from God's infallible Word. Luke chapter number 16, verse number 19. And the Bible says, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed from the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou, when thou have time, receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses, and they have the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. And you may be seated. I thank you for standing today. Brother Tim Small wrote a song, and he sang that song here some months ago in the fifth Sunday night singing that we had. And that song was entitled, Hell Won't Give Any Altar Calls. And when he sang that song that night, the Lord impressed upon my heart and squeezed my heart and said, you need to preach that. And for now, for some 2 or 3 months, I've been working on this message, and God gave it to me this week, and God put it into the context in which I can be comfortable preaching it. It's hard to preach a song, amen. And so that's what I want to do this morning. I feel led of God to preach this. And I want to say that there's a lot of different concepts about hell. But first off, I want to say that if you don't believe there is a hell, then I want to try to shake your physical mind for a little bit in the reality that we live in a world that is based on the precept of negative and positive. There is good and bad. There is God. There is Satan. There is dark. There is light. There is negative. There is positive. Everything you read in your life today is based on the principle and the precept of negative and positive. That automobile that you rode to church in this morning has a battery in it, and that battery has a negative post and a positive post. Everything, that electricity that's powering these lights has a negative part and a positive part to it. You have negatives and positive in your life. You can love, but on the other side, you can hate. You can have good health, but on the other hand, you can have bad health. And so everything in this life is based, and everything in our universe is based on the principle and the precept that negative and positive. Well, if you start applying that to spiritual terms, then you cannot say there is a heaven unless you say there is a hell. You cannot have a positive thing of heaven without knowing that there's a negative thing of hell. You cannot say there is such a thing as being saved by the grace of God unless you can also admit that there is such a thing as being lost without God. You cannot say that God loves unless you can also admit in the same breath that God also hates sin. Amen. And so everything is based on negative and positive. Amen. You can do good, but you can do evil. You can love, but you can hate. You can be lost, but you can be saved. Amen. And so it all boils down to, in the human nature, a choice that you have to make. Amen. And that's what I want you to bring you to today. I want you to come now, the Bible says, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as white as snow. And the Bible says that you can be saved. The Bible says there is a hereafter. The Bible says there is a heaven to gain. There is a hell to shun. Amen. And I want to show you today what hell is all about. Hell will not give any altar calls. Amen. And I want to show you, first of all, the different precepts, different concepts or views there is about hell. Number one, the Anglican Church, which is the Episcopal Church of England, said in 1996, they proposed and purposed that if there is a hell, it must be empty. Amen. But my Bible says that hell hath enlarged itself. And my Bible says that the narrow road leads to heaven, and the wide road and the broad road leads to hell. Amen. And so that contradicts what they said. And then there's the atheist view that says there is no God, therefore there can be no hell. Amen. There is no such thing as an atheist. Are you listening to me? I want to say there is no such thing as an atheist. When he breathes his last breath, if he's conscious in his mind, he will recognize and he will call on that God that he said never did exist. Amen. Then there is the agnostic view. The idea of hell, according to them, was born out of revenge on one side and cowardice on the other. Amen. And then there's a liberal view. There is a God, but He is a God of love, and therefore cannot send anybody to hell. He never has sent anybody to hell. He never will. The Bible says, he that believeth not is condemned already. Amen. You were born with a sin nature. You're not going to hell because of your personal sins. You're going because you are in a state of sin and you have a nature that is enmity against God, and the Bible says that no sin can enter in. So somewhere, somehow, sometime, you've got to do something about your sin nature. Well, then there's a religion view, Christian Science, which is what most of your heathenistic Hollywood crowd believes, says hell is an error of the mortal mind. Jehovah's Witnesses say the wicked will be annihilated. In other words, you'll just burn up and it won't matter. Mormonism says all will eventually be saved and not suffer any eternal punishment. That's contrary to the Word of God. And Seventh-day Adventist says God will blot out all sins and sinners. In our Lord's ministry, He primarily preached upon three subjects. And those three subjects were material possessions, the kingdom of heaven, and the reality of hell. You can deny hell all you want to, but Jesus preached on hell. And there were 162 references to hell in the Bible. Jesus made 70 of those references. Of those who believe in the myth of no hell, let me say that you are myth-taken. I want to say something else. This account is not a parable. Some people have said that this is just a story that Jesus said that did not have any reality to it. I beg to differ. I beg to challenge you today. In every parable that our Lord told, He said there was a certain man. There was a certain woman. Are you listening to me? But in this parable, He did not say there was a certain man. He said there was a rich man. In other words, He got more plain and more particular in this verse. I'm saying this was a real man, and Lazarus was a real man. And one died and went to heaven, and the other died and went to hell. Now, I want to say something else, if you believe this. In this passage of Scripture, some will say, well, because the rich man had everything in this life, then he died and went to hell because of that. And because Lazarus didn't have anything in this life, and the dogs licked his sores, that's the reason God let him into heaven. You're about as wrong as you'll ever be. That had nothing to do with why they went to hell and why they went to heaven. You're not going to heaven on your good works, and you're not going to hell because of your bad works. You're going to heaven because you've been saved by the grace of God. And you're going to hell today if you're going because you have rejected the grace of God. Let me draw that line, because it needs to be drawn. Without the reality of hell, there'd be no good news to the gospel. What is the good news of the gospel without the reality of hell? Why would we be so bent to evangelize the world if there was no reality of hell? In other words, if everybody goes to heaven, there is no gospel. If everybody is going to heaven, will you listen to me? Then Jesus died on that cross for nothing. If God will let everybody in heaven, then Jesus died for nothing. Jesus was born for nothing. Jesus was raised from the grave for nothing. But I contend that is not true. I contend that if you just rationally think about what I'm preaching today, that heaven is not going to be your home if you reject the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary. Amen. Well, I want to make 3 points and then we'll go to eat. Number one, there's certain lights on the road to hell. First, there's caution lights. You see, God put up caution lights in your life. God's put up caution lights that are flashing at the intersections of your life. You see, there's things that happen in your life that will make you suddenly think about God. There's death. There's funerals. There's tragedy. There's national tragedy. But all those things will suddenly bring you to a stark reality that God does exist. And that maybe in my thinking I'm wrong. And perhaps there's something that I need to do about it. And so there's caution lights on the road to hell. And there are intersections. Well, what kind of intersections are there? Number one, there's an intersection between where the narrow road meets with the wide road. In other words, the road to hell, my dear friend, is an interstate highway. It's got the best pavement. And it's got the best lights. And it'll take you to the best locations in this world. So you think. But the road to heaven is a narrow road. It's the road that's filled with those old Bible-thumping, fundamental, bald-head preachers that say there's only one way to heaven. That's what that road. But on the road to hell, there's bright lights. On the road to hell, there's flashing neon lights. Yeah. Amen. And they attract your attention on that road to hell. And they make you think that's what you need to be doing. And they make you think that's where you need to go. But at the end of that road is a dead end. That road does not lead where you think it leads. It does not lead to anything good. It leads to an eternity in hell. Amen. There's intersections. Well, not only will the narrow road cause the wide road, but what conversion causes with condemnation. He that believeth not is condemned already, but he that believeth in the Son of God hath life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. In other words, that's where conversion meets condemnation. There's bright lights, there's caution lights. The blood of Jesus crosses with the lies of Satan. Right now, Satan's whispering in a lot of your ears. He said, don't listen to that old preacher. You just grab all the gusto you can. You just live life to its fullest. And you just play the hell game and the damn game. And you just do what you want to do. And I assure you, Satan's whispering in your ear, I tell you, there'll be a chance for you to get all right before you die. You say, preacher, what about the thieves on the cross? One of them got right on the deathbed. That's a 50-50 chance because one of them did and none didn't. And then you're banking on the fact that you might not even have the breath or the mind. What if you're in an accident and suddenly you're gone? How much time you got to get right then? You see, you're banking on something you don't have. You're banking on a bank account that does not exist. I need to move on. There's caution lights at the intersection. Then there's caution lights of information. Number one, on the road to hell, there's a sign that's flashing up front of your face today. It says, the bridge of salvation is out ahead. Turn around. Yeah, in that passage I read, it said there's a great gulf fixed between me and you. Abraham said that to the rich man. In other words, you can't come to me. And I can't come to you. That's what hell's all about. And there's a sign flashing on that road the hell today of information saying that the bridge is out ahead. Salvation is out ahead. Turn around. But then there's a detour sign says there's a detour from hell just ahead. You see, you've got a choice today. You've got a choice. You don't have to go to hell. You hear what I'm saying? You see, Jesus has provided a way out. Jesus has finished work on Calvary. And you don't have to go to hell, but it's your choice. You don't have to go, but you can go. You don't have to go to heaven, but you can go. You don't have to be saved, but you can be saved. In other words, you've got a choice. God created you with a choice. And you have got that choice today. Caution lights on the intersection. Caution lights of information. But then secondly, there's red lights on the road to hell. Number one, there's a red light of reason. Do you really believe? Do you really believe God will let you in heaven? Do you really believe that? No, you don't really believe that. That's just some pacifier the devil stuck in your mouth to pacify your thoughts. While you're living like hell itself. You really don't believe that. Because you've got sense enough. You're not dumb. You're an educated people today. You've got sense enough to know that if God breathed on the womb of a virgin called Mary and caused her to conceive the only begotten Son of God, and that only begotten Son of God lived 33 and a half years and climbed up on the cross of Calvary and took on the sin of the whole world, and God could not look on His Son as He bore that sin for you. He turned His back on His only begotten Son. Do you really believe that He's going to let your sinful carcass in heaven? No, you don't. There's red lights on the road to hell. There's a red light of reason. There's a red light of reality. I'm going to say the gospel is not an if-then proposition. You know, if I work, if I do my best, if I go to church, if I'm good to my fellow man, then God will let me in His heaven. That's an if-then proposition. But that's not what the gospel is. That's the devil's lie. The gospel is a because, therefore proposition. Because Jesus died on the cross. Therefore, hallelujah, you can be saved. It is a because, therefore proposition. And you can't go to heaven any other way. You're going to die in your sins. You're going to bust hell wide open thinking the way you're thinking. And the multitude of the world out here is agreeing with you. And the devil's saying, hey, you're in the majority. I'm saying the majority is in hell today. You better quit following the crowd. Well, then third, there's green lights on the way to hell. Number one, there's a green light, a free decision. You got a decision. You could say, well, that preacher just got a big mouth. And when he gives that altar call, I'm going to endure it. And I'm going to walk out of this church and forget it. Number one, you won't ever forget it. And number two, you'll get your wish. Because hell's not going to give any altar calls. That's right. So there's green lights of free decision on the road to hell. But then there's green lights of a fatal decision on the road to hell. One thief made a decision that banked his future in heaven. The other thief on the cross made a decision that was a fatal decision that wound him up in hell. Both of them had the same opportunity. Both of them saw the same Savior. Both of them heard the same word. Both of them could have went to the same place. But one said, I will not accept. Well, if you've got to offer justice, some of you are saying right now, in your mind and in your soul, I refuse to accept what that preacher is preaching. And one of them went to heaven and the other one went to hell. So you've got a free decision and a fatal decision, and it could be your final decision. Is this your final decision? You see, today could be the last day of your life. You don't know that, and I don't know that. Today could be the first day in hell. Or today could be the first day of your eternal life in heaven. Amen. It's your decision. It ain't mine. I made my decision 45 years ago. But your decision is what counts. You see, my decision ain't going to do you any good. All the people in here that's saved are not going to do you any good. Read the scripture that I read. He said, Father Abraham, if you just send somebody over, I got five brothers. You just send somebody over and tell them. Yeah. I said, sorry. If they won't hear the prophets, yeah. They won't hear Moses, they ain't going to hear nobody else. Right. Friend, if you won't hear me today, you're not going to hear anybody else. Right. You say, well, Billy Graham's a bad preacher, not hear him. Oh, no, you wouldn't. You see, what I'm saying, God is God. God don't put priority on preachers. And any preacher that's preaching the Word of God as such as I am right now, hey, it's not the power and the promise of the preacher. It's the power of the Word of God. And the Word of God is here. And the Word of God can save you today. There's certain lights on the road to hell, but then there's thoughts of conviction that lives in the region of hell. Notice with me real quickly in the scripture that this man decided he wanted riches instead of redemption. One of the devil's biggest lies in America today, and some of you are seeing your God destroyed before your very eyes. That's right. America's God has become money. And in recent months, in recent weeks, you have watched your God being destroyed right in front of your eyes. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He said, I am a jealous God. And He's showing you, America, that He is exactly what He says He is. Some of your 401ks, half of it disappeared in 5 days. Sure it did. But you still won't wake up, will you? You see what I'm trying to say? This man said, I want my riches. I want my fine linen. I want a fair sumptuously. I don't care about the afterlife. I'm not worried about hell. I'm living in heaven right now. I've got everything I want. I've got anything I want. I've got sex. I've got pleasure. I've got it all. But the day will come when that will not be there anymore. And you will spend an eternity in hell. So, he decided to take material goodness instead of the Master's grace. Verse 27, verse 28, it's evident in this man's regret. You see, there was remembrance in hell, but then there's regret in hell that the brothers would follow him to hell. Some of you are leading other people to hell. Some of you got children. Some of you got parents. Some of you got brothers and sisters and people you work with. And they're following your lead. That's right. Amen. You're leading them to hell. And if you go to hell before they do, I assure you in hell you're going to lift up your eyes just as this rich man did. And you're going to be able to see back where those brothers and sisters and children and wives and husbands and mothers and dads are at. And you're going to beg God to send somebody to tell them, don't come to this place. Don't let them come here. But it won't do any good. But you can do something about it now. It's evident in this man's reality. Evident in his remembrance. Evidence in his regret. Evidence in his reality. There was a great gulf that fixed between him and Abraham. There's a great gulf right now fixed between you and God if you're lost. Listen to me. There's a great gulf. That's why the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is a gulf fixed between what you can do at your best and what God has done at His best. There's a great gulf fixed between you and Him. Well, when Jesus got on Calvary and shed His blood, the cross, of Calvary bridges the gap. Will you listen to me? I'm going to make some good old country boy sense right here. If you tried to cross a ditch, the best way to cross that ditch would be to get a pole long enough or a 4x4 or something long enough that you could lay one end on one side and one end on the other side. Somebody shake their head and say, that's right. Well, the only way you ever going to get to God is to bridge that gully or that gulf that is between you and God. And you ain't got the ability to do it. There are no 2x4s of good works that will bridge that gap. But when Jesus died, the cross of Calvary, hallelujah, will bridge the gap. In other words, if you'll take that cross and lay that cross down across that gulf and walk across the gulf on the cross of Calvary, you can get to God. Amen. Thoughts of conviction lives in the region of hell. But then the last thing is that the truth of conversion lacks in the reality of hell. Hell won't give any altar calls. There'll be no altar calls in hell. In the corridors of hell, these words will never be heard. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Saved an old wretch like me. You're never going to hear that if you go to hell. In hell, you'll never hear these words. Thank you, Lord, saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. You're never going to hear that in hell. You're never going to hear blessed Redeemer. Yes. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Yes. You're never going to hear anybody in hell say, dear, my God to thee. Right. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Hell's real, folks. Right. If you're lost, you're headed to hell. Yes. Now, I'm not beating you with it. I'm trying to preach with a broken heart. I don't want you to go to hell. There's not a person in it. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how you lived. You hadn't lived bad enough that God won't take you into heaven if you get saved. You hadn't lived bad enough that God can't save you by His blood and by His grace. You hadn't lived bad enough. But on the other hand, you ain't lived good enough that you won't die and go to hell if you don't accept it. I'm telling you, you've got to accept what God's done. And God has done it all. What more could God do than what He's already done? In the cars of hell, those words will never be heard. But in the confinement of hell, these words will be the theme. Almost persuaded, harvest is past. Almost persuaded, doom comes at last. Almost cannot avail, almost is but to fail. Sad, sad, that bitter wail. Almost, but in hell. And in the history of hell, there'll be no altar calls. No more preachers to preach to you. There'll be no more people to pray for you. There'll be no more price that can pardon you. There'll be no more pleas that can persuade you. There'll be no more promises that can protect you. There'll be no more peace that can pleasure you. Hell's a reality. You can deny hell all your life. It won't keep you from going there. You can deny hell all you want, but it will not reduce the temperature 1 degree in hell. Hell's real. People, actual, real people go there. I don't care how many funerals you've been to where the preacher says everybody goes to heaven. I don't care how many bad men you've seen lay in caskets and the preacher said they went to heaven. That preacher didn't know what he's talking about. That preacher can't get one person in heaven and he can't preach one out of heaven. And I can't preach one into hell and I can't preach one out of hell. I'm saying hell's a reality. Are you listening to me? And if you're here today under the sound of my voice, you've got a choice. You can choose hell, you can choose heaven. You can choose your way, or you can choose God's way. If you want to bank all eternity, you say, preacher, I don't believe a word you said. I believe God let me into heaven. Go right ahead. But I want to tell you something. Will you listen to me? Eternity is going to be a long, long, long time. If you're wrong. Preacher, I don't believe you're right. Okay, if I'm not right, fine. You still want to make eternity on it? I want everybody to stand. Every head bowed.